In connection with Lord's Day 50, we turn to that very familiar chapter in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. Let's begin to read at about verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Thus far the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. We turn together for our instruction in the Word of God concerning the fourth petition to Lord's Day 50. You will find that bottom of page 42, top of page 43. What is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread, that is, be pleased to provide for all our bodily need, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that without thy blessing neither our care and labor nor thy gifts can profit us, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Many passages serve as the basis of that instruction. Let me just quote several of them for us tonight. Psalm 104, from which we sang a few moments ago. These, that is, all the creatures, wait upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good. Psalm 145, 15, 16. The eyes of all wait upon thee. Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand. Thou satisfiest the desire of every living thing. In Matthew 6, as we read, therefore I say, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Acts 14:17. Nevertheless, he left not himself, that is God, without witness. in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. In Acts 17:17-28, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain of your own prophets have also said. In Psalm 37, several verses, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospers in the way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. A little that the righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. Psalm 62:10. Trust not in oppression. Become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Psalm 127, familiar to us, that covenant psalm. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes but in vain. Jeremiah 17, thus says the Lord, cursed be man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord. As we said in our introduction to the Lord's Prayer is constructed after the pattern of the law. We have finished the first three petitions that refer to God. We seek his glory. We seek that in his name, in his kingdom, in his will. Now we turn to our considerations. The question before us tonight, however, with regard to this petition, beloved, is this. When we turn to consider ourselves in prayer, why does the Lord's Prayer teach us to begin with our daily bread? And there is some that have looked at that particular idea and have said it cannot possibly be that the Lord immediately turns to our carnal needs and then after that turns to our spiritual needs with regard to temptation and the onslaughts of the devil and so forth. We need to decide that question this evening, beloved. And in order to do that, we have to clearly understand that the petitions of the Lord's Prayer have a certain order to them. And the first three petitions, his name, his will, his kingdom, those three petitions are predominant in the desire of the child of God and in his prayer life. And the petitions that follow from that, until we get to that beautiful doxology, are subservient to that desire which is expressed in the first three petitions. In other words, what we have here, when we deal with our daily bread, and the Catechism instructs us, and correctly so, that deals with our bodily needs, when the Catechism instructs us here, and the Lord teaches us to pray for our daily bread, we are not engaged in carnal things, per se. They are certainly in our prayer, but they are there from a spiritual point of view, or to put that a little differently. The petition with regard to the things that I need in my earthly sojourn, the things that are necessities to you, beloved, as you must live heavenly, in a heavenly fashion, in this earthly realm, those things may be carnal in and of themselves, but in the prayer of the child of God, they are seen as a means toward an end. And that end is always spiritual. And therefore, as I have said many times before in dealing with this petition, this is a spiritual prayer with regard to carnal realities. If there's anything that we take home with us tonight with regard to this petition, let's understand that. This is a spiritual petition. It is not in any sense of the word a carnal petition. It is a spiritual prayer that applies to the carnal needs, the needs of the body that you and I have as we walk our pilgrim's journey here below. And that ought to be instructive with regard to all of our prayer life. We teach our children that at a very young age. They must not include in their prayer a carnal wish list. We teach them that they ought to pray for the things that are necessary here below as they stand in relationship to the kingdom. The kingdom, the glory of God is always first and predominant. It is therefore the things of this world that you and I need on our pilgrim's journey that are subservient, yet they are a matter of our prayer life. We'll enter into that whole idea in just a little bit more detail in just a few moments. We have therefore a petition that deals with the things of this world as they affect us who are pilgrims and strangers on their way to the heavenly city. In that connection, there are two things that are stressed in this Lord's Day, and they are these. In the first place, that God, He is the overflowing fountain of all good. You and I must withdraw our trust from every creature, including ourselves. That's not where the trust of the child of God is. It is in God alone with regard to all the things of this world. He is the overflowing fountain of every good. In the second place, therefore, and this is closely related, we must trust, and we must trust implicitly in Him alone and never in ourselves or any other creature. With that in mind, let's see the fourth petition. As we deal, first of all, with its meaning, in the second place, the acknowledgement of the child of God in that petition, and finally, that we are pointed to the idea of trust, which is a matter of the first commandment, as you know. The fourth petition, the meaning, the acknowledgement that we make, and the trust that we must have. Just exactly what is our Lord Jesus Christ referring to when He says, "Give us this day our daily bread." That's a figure. Bread, as you know, is the staff of life. Now, as we said in our introduction, there are some who are greatly troubled in that it seems that our Lord Jesus Christ interjects carnal needs into our prayer life. And they will have nothing to do with that. And from that perspective, they would have us understand this from a purely spiritual point of view. That, however, is not correct, beloved. Our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us that we may certainly pray with regard to the needs of this present existence. Those things are not outside of our prayer life. They are an integral part of our prayer life. But they may never be an end in themselves. In other words, we do not pray for carnal things' sake. We do not pray for the things of this world for their own sake. We do not pray for these things as if they are an end in themselves, but they are always subservient. They would tell us, therefore, that since these things have no part in our prayer life, it cannot possibly be our daily bread from the viewpoint of our bodily necessities. And that sounds rather pious, beloved, and especially when they point us to many passages of Scripture that seems to support that. You know all of them. If you turn, and they would have us turn, for example, to John chapter 6, which is the dissertation of our Lord Jesus Christ with regard to the fact that He is the bread of life. And He compares Himself to the manna in the Old Testament, only He says, "I am the manna that God sent down from heaven. And if you eat of this manna, you will live forevermore." Spiritual bread. They say that's what our Lord Jesus Christ is talking about. Or they'll take you to the temptations of Christ in the wilderness. And they'll say, see, our Lord Jesus Christ, when tempted by the devil, and he is challenged to turn these stones into bread because he was hungry, he answers the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Or they will turn you to the Sermon on the Mount, the very passage which we read. And they will say, see, our Lord Jesus Christ himself says, don't be mindful of these earthly things. What you shall put on, your clothing, what you're going to eat, your food. All these things you understand. Your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of them. After all these things the Gentiles seek. And therefore we as Christians pay no attention to those things. These things refer to spiritual bread, our Lord Jesus Christ. And they so interpret this petition, and they so would have us pray. As I said a few moments ago, that's not correct. The distinction that our Lord Jesus Christ makes in all the examples that they bring to our attention, beloved, is not indeed what they would like it to be. Man shall not live by bread alone. But we need to eat in order to survive in our pilgrim's journey. We have necessities that belong to our earthly pilgrim's journey. They may become a part, they must become a part of our prayer life. The Gentiles seek after the things of this world. They set their heart upon them. The child of God doesn't do that. He sets his heart on heavenly things. Nevertheless, he knows very well that in all of his pilgrim's journey, he is dependent upon God and that God is the overflowing fountain of every good. We live out of his fatherly hand. He cares for us providentially. Lord's Days 9 and Lord's Day 10 give us instruction with regard to that. We understand that these things are not ends in themselves, but they are a means for the child of God to walk his pilgrim's journey here below, onward to glory. They belong to the necessities of this life. You and I may pray for them. We may not make them carnal. We may not set their heart upon them. They may not be the end all of our desires. Then we're like the Gentiles. Then we live by bread alone. But we may make them our concerns before God, and we can certainly make them our cares, even though he cares for us. What then is this bread? Our Lord Jesus Christ is quite pointed. Give us this day our daily bread. It seems that Christ multiplies terms there. It seems as if he says the same thing two times over. Give us this day our daily bread. Our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't duplicate words for naught, beloved. Every word in this petition has weight. And there are two ideas that come to the fore as Christ teaches us with regard to our daily necessities. There is, first of all, the idea of bread. That's the staff of life. That's a figure. When Christ says, pray for your daily bread, he means by that all the necessities that accompany you, that accompany me, that accompany our families as we walk our pilgrim's journey here below. The needs of the child of God as he lives as a covenant child of God onward to Zion. The earthly necessities that belong to us as we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. All those things belong to bread. Bread defines all of them. From that perspective, our Lord Jesus Christ would say, first of all, you have daily bread. That is, you have a portion that God has allotted for you that meets the necessities which you have a certain day. And as we live out of the hand of the Almighty God, as we take from the overflowing fountain of all good, those necessities, beloved, for a certain day, the day in which we utter this prayer, may be varied. They're not the same for you as they are for me. They're not the same for an aged person as they are for a young person. They're not the same for a single person as they are for a family man. They are not the same, beloved, in health and strength as they are in sickness and in distress. But you see, those particular necessities, whatever it may be for a certain day in your life and in my life, those become our concerns as we march onward to Zion. And then our Lord Jesus Christ says, that's your daily bread. That's the need which God created. That's the place He puts you in your pilgrim's journey. With all the surrounding circumstances and with the particular necessities that are attending those circumstances. That becomes very concrete. That's the bread on our table. That's the roof over our heads. That's the shoes on our feet, as the Jamaicans so fondly sing, being very concrete. That's the medications we are dependent upon. That's the dialysis that we may need for earthly existence. Whatever our necessities are, beloved, for that particular day, as God gives those necessities to us, He will supply. We ask them of Him. They may be the concerns. They should be the concerns in the prayer of the child of God. That's our daily bread. But you notice Christ teaches us a little more. And that's not a duplication, and those are not idle words. Give us this day our daily bread. In other words, the child of God may not live amassing unto himself into the future so that he has no need of God. You and I live in humble submission, in total dependence, in childlike faith and trust to the living God. Every day and again. In fact, every moment of our life, we are dependent upon Him. And therefore we live by faith. And Christ will underscore that for us in this petition. I don't need to ask for 6 months from now, not for the day of tomorrow. I need to ask God for my necessities this day. And tomorrow the set of circumstances may be completely different. And maybe my need for today will be dispelled on the day of tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day are the needs and the evils of that day. You and I must not live indefinitely into the future as if you and I want all our necessities taken care of until 10, 20 years from now to live in that security and independence apart from God. Christ says, you live in total dependence upon God every moment of your life. And for those things that you and I stand dependent on, we must pray to our Heavenly Father that He gives us those needs. And then He tells us in the Lord's Prayer, pray that in the fellowship of God's people. No man is an island in the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. We stand in dependence one upon another. Give us this day our daily bread. God will care for His sheepfold on into glory always. And we shall know no want. That's Psalm 23. Our children love to sing it. From that point of view, we ought to understand, beloved, that God does not want us to engage in greed, but in contentment. We don't have to help the Lord along one way or another in order that we may be greedy, that we may engage in avarice, in tricks, in devices, in gambling, and lotteries, and what have you, as if God cannot supply our daily needs. That's why the child of God has no part in those things. He lives out of the hand of His Heavenly Father. Furthermore, He lives in contentment. He doesn't wish to win the lottery. He knows that God gives him every day his daily needs. He need not worry about those things. Why do we worry, says Christ? Why should we fill our hearts with anxiety? What can we possibly change, beloved? What can you and I control with regard to our health and our strength and our job and the economy and the world in general? Is it not God who has all these things in the palm of His hand? And does the child of God who lives as a pilgrim and a stranger here below not depend upon His Heavenly Father for all those individual needs? And that's a rhetorical question. Of course we do. That's why we will not fill our hearts and souls with worry, with anxiety, but with Christian contentment, knowing that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, and His care is always for His church, His redeemed church in the blood of the Lamb. When we live that way, we are implicitly acknowledging two things. And I'd like to drive those home to us this evening, beloved, especially from the viewpoint of two passages of Scripture. And the first one and the second one we know very well. Psalm 104 is very beautiful. God gives us everything. He does. He sends the springs into the valley, which runs among the hills. He waters the hills from His chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of His work. You understand that's God. It's not the farmer, it's not the industrialist that stands on the foreground. It's not man that comes first. It's God who comes first. And the whole of the psalm speaks of exactly the same thing. Thou givest them what they gather. Thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou sendest forth, my meditation shall be sweet in the Lord. Therefore God provides for all our needs. He is the overflowing fountain of every good thing. In the second place, our care and our industry and our work and our busyness cannot affect it at all. It is God whose blessing must be sought in all these things. And that's Psalm 127. That's that covenant psalm, beloved. We know it so well. Listen. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. In vain you rise up early to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows. In vain when you and I do those things in our own might, and we think to be able to make them a blessing unto us. In vain you keep the city. The watchman waketh in vain. The Lord can overwhelm him. The Lord watches the city. Can you and I secure the job? And when we have it, can we perform in that calling and station in life? And we might be able to earn and put the food in our plate. Are we able to make the body digest it properly? Are we not dependent upon God for His indispensable blessing with regard to all these things? His blessing, beloved, is indispensable to everything that you and I do. We can do nothing in and of ourselves. And therefore we live totally dependent upon Him in every aspect of our being. Not only is He the fountain of every perfect gift, not only does He rain His blessings upon us, but those things are not a blessing unto us, beloved, until He makes them such in our life. You see, the emphasis is taken completely away from us. It is all brought unto our Heavenly Father. He does all these things. He showers it upon us. He blesses it upon our lives. He does all these things. And from that point of view, therefore, you and I, in all the labor of our hands, look unto Him. That means, in the first place, from a negative point of view, we are not driven into laziness and fatalism so that we simply say, the Lord must supply, the Lord will supply, He will rain it down from heaven, even as manna in the on the desert floor. You and I don't do that. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, be wise in all thy ways. Consider him. So the child of God labors conscientiously before the face of God. He knows his talents. He knows his opportunities. He takes advantages of what God has placed before him. He does that prayerfully in dependence upon God. He develops himself toward the glory of God and for the good of his kingdom as the Lord gives him that opportunity. And when the Lord turns the table, so to speak, he lives in dependence upon God, and he knows that God, who also gives him that adversity, quote unquote, will supply out of the bounties of his storehouses, so that always, and this again brings me to the Lord's Day, I am patient in adversity. I am thankful in prosperity, patient with God, thankful to God, because I know my daily bread is from Him alone. That's Christian contentment. The Apostle Paul speaks of that. Eager speaks of that. Give me neither poverty nor riches, he says. Why? Because knowing the child of God, if we have riches, beloved, we become puffed up and we don't realize that they make wings and can soon disappear. And when we have poverty, we are prone to murmur and to be disgusted with the Lord because we don't appreciate the way in which the Lord lives us. That's why the scripture says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me just enough food convenient for me. Challenge for the child of God in this day and age. Well, beloved, so often the necessities of life are looked at it from a completely different point of view. And oftentimes the wants that are very carnal displace the necessities. And it is difficult for the child of God today to set his priorities right in the day and age in which we live that is reefed with carnal-mindedness and materialism and that eats into the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's remember this prayer. Let's understand that we pray for bread. We pray for bread in connection with the glory of God and the coming of His kingdom. When today that is so often interpreted as cake that I want to eat before the kingdom is even considered. That's not true. Give us this day for this very day the allotment that I need in my particular need, where thy glory and thy kingdom come first and foremost, and the things that belong to my needs take second seat. Give us this day our daily bread. We begin to understand why the catechism here makes that a matter of trust. And you know, that's really a matter of the first commandment. The first commandment speaks of that with regard to idolatry. Let me call that to your attention a moment. Bottom of page 37. What is idolatry? It is, instead of the one true God who has revealed himself in his word, or besides him, to devise or have something else in which we place our trust. In men, in government, in insurance, in the arm of the flesh, it makes no difference. The moment we begin to trust in them, beloved, or in ourselves, apart from our Father who is in heaven, you and I place our trust in those things. And therefore this petition speaks concretely with regard to the first commandment. It's a matter of trust. Who do we trust to fulfill our daily needs, our necessities in this life? To whom do we go in our needs? To God or to man? Whom do we trust to supply those needs? Ourselves, someone else, some other creature, or the living God? It's as simple as that. And our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us to pray to God, our Heavenly Father, for Jesus' sake, who will certainly give us all things. For if earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to their children, does not our Father in heaven, is He not able to give good gifts unto those whom He has redeemed in the blood of His own dear Son? We look to God, beloved, to supply our needs. And those needs have to do with the glory of God in our lives, as you and I walk our pilgrim's journey here below. Let's be careful not to put our wants and our carnal wants before the needs which we have that belong to the glory of God in the realization of His kingdom and covenant as God has given us to represent it. The old timers used to say, church, school first. The kingdom of God, the glory of God reflected in that kingdom, His name, those things are first. With regard to those things becoming a reality in our lives, we have needs that we must walk this, so that we can walk this earthly pilgrimage to His glory. Let's set priorities in our life with regard to those things, beloved, that we can pray this prayer from the bottom of our hearts. Then we will understand that man needs bread to live, but he doesn't live by bread alone. He lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the living God, and he seeks His glory. But he knows that on the way, he may bring all his needs to God in prayer, and God will satisfy abundantly our needs toward His glory. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee that we could sit at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ to be instructed by Him in prayer. May we be able to pray this petition as we should. Take every carnal mindedness from us, and may it be subservient, may all our petitions be subservient to Thy glory and Thy kingdom. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.